everybody. Welcome to Geeks Next Door, episode 41. This is, December 29th? Almost the next year. God damn, we've been doing this for a long time. Almost coming up on our 1 year in it. Well, pretty far away from 1 year, so we got no problem. How's everybody's Christmas?
Hey.
Good?
Yeah. Really good.
Really good. I got a hey, a good, and a really good.
It's all right.
Really good.
Okay, Dave, too, since it was really good, give me something awesome that you got for Christmas or did for Christmas that was awesome.
I got this really weird DNA kit.
That doesn't count. You need a different answer.
That somehow that says, please include payment, so I have to ask about that.
That would be awesome. I just got you the kit, but you got to include payment yourself.
There's something that says, put down your credit card information. I'm like, what?
Nice.
No, it was really good because I enjoy spending time with my family and friends. Like last night, that was fun. So to me, it's always really good. So
yeah,
it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, last night we all got together and exchanged pleasantries. Anything in particular this year? Any gift that you received that you're like was just out of the ordinary, and you're like, that's a good gift. That made a good gift. Anything, like, give me a highlight for this year that doesn't involve any of us.
Son of a bitch.
Let's see. I got some Amazon gift cards, which are always nice because now I ordered a couple board games. So
okay.
They add to my collection. So okay. I got those coming.
So effectively, you got some board games.
Yeah. And the highlight, of course, is a little stat. Well, it's not little. A statue that I received of the Flash, of the TV Flash, because we all know that show is awesome.
Pretty sure I said it can't involve us, so screw you.
Right.
I didn't know
what you're doing.
Whatever.
All right, cool. What about you, Adam? What did you get this year?
Besides, my other gift was the trip to Mexico. So
yeah. Wait. You didn't mention this. You got a gift trip to Mexico?
What? Yeah, I bought it last January as a Christmas gift for November.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So. I got
you. That
kind okay.
Of last year's Christmas present.
No. Whatever. If that's the nice thing, you get it both years. You get it when you buy it, and then you get it when you use it. So.
Aww.
How about you, Adam? How about you? Did you get anything stellar this year? You're like that kind of set this year apart, or that's something that I was like, that was pretty cool.
Nah, nothing really stands out. I got a hammock that Joy won't let me set up in the house just yet. She wants me to clean out some stuff, and then I can set it up in the house.
Okay, just like a regular size hammock, or
it's like one of those yard hammocks to sit on your deck and like just lounge.
Okay,
so I figured, you know, it's cold out. I might as well set it up in the house.
Yeah, but
it'd be pretty cool.
But you can't. You're being barred from doing that
for the moment.
Being hammock blocked, so to speak.
Banana hammock blocked.
Okay.
There's not enough room downstairs. I mean, there's plenty of room in that basement.
There is. She just wants me to, like, hang a couple photos and do some other shit around this house that I haven't done in the last 3 months, so.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
Okay.
It's a bartering system.
I guess. Whatever works for you. What about you, Dave? What about you? How did your Christmas go? Get anything awesome?
I think it was just, you know, like, nice. It's like, it wasn't, you know, it didn't feel like, sometimes Christmas feels like, wow, I've been running really hard and trying to get shit done. So, like, I don't ever run hard, like, Adam's always like, I gotta get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, guys, gotta go, you know, I never have to do that because I don't have to. I just felt like I was a little ahead of everything. You know, for the weeks coming up to Christmas, so everything felt like it was nice. It was able to, like, kind of just, you know, be relaxing and chill. And what else? What did I get that's... I got some gift cards. I got, like, $100 towards that Duluth Trading Company, so I am planning on going to buy myself some of these
Duluth
fucking... some $25, like, super badass underwear. these are like badass, supposedly like super badass underwear that are like specifically designed to like wick away sweat and they have like the silver built into them, like the, you know, to help so it doesn't smell, and they're like made of like high, they're $25 underwear, so these things are gonna be badass.
Do they wipe your ass for you?
That'd
because
be sweet.
For $25 they better wipe your ass for
look
you.
Look who's talking over here. Jesus. Yeah. King of the Mexican imports over there.
Right, exactly. So I mean, I'm in
cheap.
Except they're still $300, so, and they don't do anything.
They don't.
Like, these are at least going to cut my balls and make me feel comfortable.
That's true. That's true.
So if that Mexican thing cuts your balls and makes you feel comfortable, I'm sorry, Adam. I beg your pardon. Like, I'm messing with it every time I come over. But I'm really interested in wearing those, and I think they're going to be super comfortable because they just look really good. And what's that, Adam?
Oh, I was going to say, for those of you who don't know what they look like, we're going to take photos of Dave and put it on the Geeks Next Door Facebook page.
Yep. With underwear? Without underwear. With underwear? Without underwear.
It'll be cool. It'll be like, and you can write in and choose what would you rather spend money on? $25 for super comfortable underwear or $325 for something that sits there and does nothing?
That's true.
It's all relative.
It depends.
Well, it's relative to comfort.
That's true.
Yep.
All right. Cool. I got a bunch of stuff to like create stuff in a forge. So yeah, I got a hammer and I got a big sledgehammer kind of thing, and I got my gloves and my tongs. So I got a few things like that, which was kind of cool. And Amy got me this little, like, it's like a piece of art. It's like a plaque or something, and it just has a bunch of sayings on it from cool things. So it says, like, in this house we do timey-wimey things, go where no one has gone before, do extra, you know, it says like 10 things, a bunch from shows that you would recognize and stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. It's a nice little thing that, and if you, the only one I didn't really, well, I know about it, but I don't. Like, it says, we don't explain ourselves to muggles or something. Which I know it's a Harry Potter thing, but I'm not super into Harry Potter. So that's, like, the only one on there that I don't actively enjoy. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I saw that the other night.
Okay. What about, was there anything that you gave somebody that you were especially, like, proud of? If you didn't really give a whole lot of stuff and your wife gave most of your stuff, then you don't probably answer the question. But is there something that you were like, God, you know, that kind of... I thought hard on that, and it worked out really well, and I gave somebody X or something that fit their personality or whatever.
Adam, come on. You're a good giver.
I'm an Indian giver? Is that what you said?
Yep.
I actually didn't have much time to shop, so it was rather busy for me this season, and I took the cheap way out.
You can just say no.
Exactly.
You've got to explain yourself. I'm not looking for like super. I'm not looking for anything here. I'm just curious if you guys had anything. You don't. You can say no. It's fine.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
I got Tiffany this necklace that it's like had
it's
all
a
these
pearl
numbers.
Necklace.
Well, there's a pearl in it, but basically it has all these different stones that represent all the planets in the solar system.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so, you know, there's different ones where it's like, you know, it's got the Mercury, the Venus, Mars, or Earth, Mars.
It has Mercury on it, and she's supposed to wear it on her skin?
Hey, it's pretty sweet.
Slowly it's makes
sweet.
You...
I said, don't wear it too much.
It slowly makes you immune to Mercury. Don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah, okay. That was that was pretty cool. It's very sciencey, which I enjoy science, but it's also was cool to give.
Arty, a little bit of artistic there, Dave. Maybe you're branching out a little bit.
What are you talking about? I like, dude. I've been drawing for 1,000 years. Of course, I'm like artistic.
Yeah, no, but you're giving.
He said autistic, a little autistic.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm 100%. I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm 100% autistic when it comes to... When I'm like, why do you feel these emotions? I have... What is this thing?
That's like or Asperger's. You have Asperger's.
Yeah, it's on the autism...
Scale. Yeah,
it's on the scale. It's on the spectrum, as they say. Cool. I was pretty proud of Ryan's gift. If you listened a few episodes back, I got him... a goose riding a dolphin because he's mortifyingly scared of goose and dolphins. As well as I got him like a clock and some time shift magic cards because I tried to get him more time because he only has 22 hours in the day. But that's the best I could do was this clock thing and some other stuff. So I was pretty happy with that.
Oh, I didn't get to see the goose riding the dolphin.
What? Yeah, it was the best part because he's like, Chris, I don't understand this. I'm like, what? How do you not understand? You said you're terrified of geese and dolphins.
He totally did not show us that.
Yeah, oh, really? He said it really loud. Yeah. He said, Chris, I don't understand this. And I explained it to him and he said,
There's a lot of chaos.
Yeah, there was. There was a lot of shit going on.
Right.
How about you, Dave, too? Anything in particular stand out?
Well, I did get Hannah a Kindle.
Black Pearl necklace.
Nope. Mm. That was like many years ago.
It still keeps on getting funnier.
You say so. All
right. No, so we were at like Thanksgiving, we were talking about what my parents were getting for the kids, and my wife was kind of jealous. She's like, oh. So I ended up getting her one.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. And then I tried to do justice with you guys and, you know, try to give Chris something that could fit his new forge and also be outside and bring the love of Star Trek outside. So
gotcha.
And then
Love
I,
Forge.
I don't know if you. Yeah, I was kind of thinking that.
That's going to be the name of the Forge. Love Forge.
Right.
It's French.
But I figured with all the times we've. I don't know if you guys saw, but with all the times we've been busting Adam's balls, I decided to get him a Darth Vader nutcracker.
Nice.
There you go.
So that was pretty good.
Cool. Sounds good. No Ryan today, at least not for the beginning of the podcast. He's entertaining family guests, so. Fuck it, we don't need him. Let's get started.
This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide. This is when we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party, turn up the party.
All right. Anything to talk about today, or was everybody burdened down with life and couldn't find anything to talk about?
The only news I have is it is super awesome. Like when the winner comes back for Legends of Tomorrow. The last time we saw it, we saw that Rip Hunter was directing a movie, right?
What? Remember? No. Okay. I must not.
Very end of the finale.
I don't think I've watched it, but go ahead. You're not going to spoil anything. It's fine.
Okay, but Rip Hunter was directing a movie, so everyone saw he got thrown out of time.
Yep.
Well, everyone who watched got thrown out of time, and he was directing a movie. And I guess what's going to happen is he is in Hollywood making sci-fi movies in the 60s. And some famous figures throughout movie history are going to show up. One of them being a young George Lucas is going to appear on the show.
That's pretty cool.
I guess like even in the television show, George Lucas, Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, stuff like that has a pronounced effect on some of the characters in there. So him not doing things like not making Star Wars or not making Raiders is going to have an effect on Ray Palmer and Nate Haywood.
Sure, I could see that because they probably got their inspiration from a little bit from that. Okay,
right. Yep.
That makes
sense. I think that's going to be very interesting and just weird how it could be like, oh, like, haha, look how zany we are.
That's cool. Do you think in the movies that they're directing in the 60s, everybody will be walking around with walkie talkies in their hands? And making shooting noises with the walkie-talkies.
No, in the 60s, it was okay to make shooting noises with guns.
I know, but George Lucas is there, and he might want to retcon it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's neat.
So I was really interested. I think that'll be fun. I just like that show because it is fun. And it is a fun example of time travel, not this serious version of time travel with Timeless. I tried watching one episode of that, Chris.
It's amazing. You don't even know.
I'm gonna give it more episodes a try.
You can't just watch one. It's the characters that make a show. You know that. It's not the actual plot. It starts getting good when you're like, ooh, I wonder what happened there. Ooh, yeah, it gets better.
I do like that they always end up being where it's always like a guy who does not fit history has to go back in history. Like the black guy who has to go back in history and is like, ah, man, really?
But they make reference to that. They're like, right. You're sending me back to the Civil War. Seriously? Fuck you.
Right. It's like, ah, man. Like, nobody likes me in all of history.
Yeah, I think they said that one time, didn't they? They're like, There's very few time periods I can actually go back for and not be dickheaded.
So I also gave it an episode try. So I'm going to give it more episodes. I'm going to try and jump on this timeless bandwagon of that you are so such a good proponent of. You're like, timeless!
It wasn't, don't get me wrong, not an amazing show, but just kind of fun. Alright.
Yeah, other than that, I didn't get a lot of, like, pop culture-y stuff this week or so.
Not much has happened other than mass death of celebrities.
Yeah, so last night was Debbie Reynolds, right? Yeah. Which I completely understand. Your daughter dies and your just heart can't take it anymore, so you're like, fuck it, I don't need to be alive anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that's too bad. I only knew her from one show, I think. I think she was in The Unsinkable Molly Brown. Did she play that Molly Brown character? It was a long time ago, but that's a show my mom always watched, and she always made me watch it. I think that was her in that show. That's the only one I would know her from. I'm sure she's done other things. Has she done anything recently that I would know her from, or is it basically back in the day kind of a thing?
It's pretty much old stuff. She's been retired for quite some time.
That doesn't surprise me.
I think the most popular one was Singing in the Rain.
Yes.
So,
and that's like 52, 53, something like that.
Somewhere. That's way old.
Yeah.
So, actually, I think that I heard an interview that said that was her favorite.
Oh, okay.
Favorite show she's ever done, or I think it's probably the one that she got the most credit for.
Okay.
I could see that, something like that.
Oh, she did some voice work, it looked like, too, for a bit, on a bunch of TV series. Looking it up, a bunch of TV stuff, so, okay. And basically, people know her from back in the day. She did all these big movies back in the day, back in the 50s and stuff, and 60s, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back when, like, there was, like, four channels you could watch on TV, and you went to one movie every 3 months that came out, so...
Right.
Everybody was a movie star that was in a movie.
That's really weird. I can't conceive that concept.
What's
really,
that?
That there was only a couple movies out at a single time.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it? It's like, and you probably saw them all, because what the fuck else are you going to do?
So,
there's always stories, and you see in, you know, TV shows, movies, or from maybe you hear from your parents how they would just go to these movies. Chair broke. They would see the movie like 8 or 9 times because there's only 2 in the theater.
Right.
One of them you definitely would not want to see, so you're stuck watching, you know, The Blob for how many ever times.
Bonzo goes bananas or...
We can kind of... I mean, we got a little bit of that when... I'm young. We're all, I think, young enough. At least I'm young enough to remember... fucking like 10 channels or only having access to 8 or 9 channels on the TV. I remember that being a kid and being, you turn the knob on the thing and you only get like 12 or channels or something, and you're like, this is my options right here. So whatever you're watching that's good, your friend probably is too, because it's the only thing on that another 8-year-old would watch.
Especially on Sunday morning or Saturday mornings. Cartoons.
Yeah, once we got to be like, you know, 15 or so, we started getting a little bit more, I think. Do you guys remember the first time you got like cable TV where like you had more than just a few channels? I don't remember that exactly.
Yeah, it was like, that's what I'm seriously thinking now, because I'm like, it had to be like 86, 87.
That sounds about right. So we spent, you know, the first 9 or 10 years or whatever without that option. And that's why we went outside a lot, because we're like, well, they're not on TV. Let's fucking go outside.
It's true.
Huh. Right. Yeah. But it was just weird when I got cable and there was like fucking, like, I just remember being like, holy shit, like you watch like USA and there'd be like USA Up All Night and you'd be like, oh shit, look at these chicks are there's like boobs everywhere.
It's true.
It's like your parents didn't know shit about cable. They didn't understand that like after like 9 o'clock, like there started being like kids on everything. So you're just like, this is,
they knew, Dave.
Yeah, if they knew, they didn't,
they didn't care.
Yeah,
it was weird.
I actually do remember watching the scrambled like Showtime channel, just because there is some sort of or porn channel or whatever, and it's scrambled, but you can hear it and you can kind of see images that every now and then comes in clear enough.
I think that was a boob.
God damn, we lived in dark times, didn't we?
Right, but as like a 10, 11, 12, 13 year old boy, noises got you really far.
You know, oddly enough, and I've said this to Amy, I'm more audio right now, like audio clues than I am visual, and I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I think you're right, Chris.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, interesting. Let's talk more about our sexuality.
Yeah, that's not geeky at all.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, man. But, yeah, like, yeah, it was weird. Like, excuse me. Just because I remember when you got HBO, and I was just like telling kids, I'm like, hey, Fraggle Rock's really awesome. You watch that show? People are like, what the fuck is Fraggle Rock? I'm like, you know the Muppets? Well, yeah, of course, everybody knows the Muppets. But there's this other show where this guy, like, has a dog, and he's a Muppet dog, and inside his wall, there's like all these creatures that live in there, and they're Muppets, but they're awesome. And then there's these little guys who live with them, and there's this giant trash lady, and these giants, and people are just like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah, I was one of those people, because I didn't see Fraggle Rock till later when we got like bigger, more channels and stuff. I was like, I don't know, Fraggle what? But I remember going to school and people talking about it and being like, I can't contribute to this conversation in any way.
I am going to go play Foursquare.
That's right.
Fucking dicks.
So cornering. Hey, speaking of which, can you guys think back what one of your earliest memories is? Like, one of your very first memories you can think about? Because it's becoming weird. And I'll tell you why I ask in a second. But I think I can remember, like, it's so hard, but I think I can remember wrestling with my stepdad at my old house in my townhouse in Brooklyn Center, or it might have been a picture I saw, because it's hard to know if that was a memory or a picture, but I think it was a memory. You know, it's so far back, and that would be when I was like 4, maybe 5, so I don't remember. But do you guys have anything like that you can remember from a long time ago?
I can barely remember yesterday, so...
Dude, you gotta have some fragments of memories buried in there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the really, if I think really hard back, like, every once in a while you'll smell something and you'll be transported back to when you're little and stuff like that. But the one I remember super clearly is...
Breaking
like,
your door.
No, first day of kindergarten. And we walked to school and we walked with Tim Nielsen's mom and Tim Nielsen and... Like that I just remember super clearly, like, you know, just going to school, like, you know, being like, holy crap, I don't know what this is. This is weird, because it goes from hanging out with a couple of people every day to all of a sudden hanging out with 30 people every day, and you don't know everybody.
All right, that's interesting. I do not remember my first day of school, so that's really interesting.
Right. Huh. Yeah.
How about you two? Any memories from back in the day, or is everything gone?
Everything's gone. Well, seriously. I think the earliest memory I have is playing soccer, like when I was like maybe 6.
You must have been really young. I haven't seen you play hot soccer in years.
I played like 3 years, and that was it.
Okay, and you can like remember the act of playing soccer, or just the feeling of it.
A little bit of both. I can remember playing. I can remember my neighbor across the street, Matt, who was on the team. And then there was another guy named Carl who used to live near me. We used to play all on the same team. I can remember the actual, like, playing and scoring or falling over, or, you know, those type of things.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember a lot of instances, especially baseball and basketball. Like, I remember specific instances of things happening, but I don't remember, like, the average at-bat or something. I just remember specific ones where something happened or something like that.
Right, yeah, those specific actions I can remember, those specific things that we did. You can't recall, like, the whole game. I couldn't tell you if we won or lost or whatever, but...
I can tell you that. We won every game, so...
cheater.
Adam, anything, or are they all gone?
Remember.
It's... You know, I can pull up fragments, like... Probably getting my first bike, a couple times in kindergarten, stuff like that.
Okay.
Halloween, first grade, I can remember my teacher dressing up as the witch from Snow White.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, and I don't think those memories are gone. I think they're just locked, and it takes something to trigger them. I remember this. I experienced this at the reunion, the 20-year reunion, where people would say shit, and I'd be like, "Oh fuck, I totally remember that now. I forgot about it for years, and all of a sudden I remember it." And, you know, it just takes a little bit of something. It doesn't even have to be people talking. It could be, like you said, a smell or some sort of sight or something that you see. All right. The reason I ask is because I talked to my mom, and I was like, "It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, mom." I said, you should come over and I should talk to you about just your fucking life. I just want to record your life and talk to you about shit I don't even know, because honestly, how often do you really talk in depth to your mom about her past and stuff?
Correct.
It'd
be fun, right?
So I want to do that, and hopefully she will come over and do it. She showed a little hesitation. She was like, can I lie about it? And I was like, if you feel like it, whatever. What's that?
Make sure you get, like, her first boyfriend, her first kiss.
Well, that shit's kind of cool to know, you know? Like, apparently I can't remember my first kiss. The girl who gave it to me said, you told me I was your first kiss when we kissed, and we were, like, you know, 12. And I was like, I can't remember that. But anyways, one of my questions to her was going to be, what is your first memory? Like, your actual first memory. And I'm wondering if that actually decays with time, or if it's actually just like us, where we could get these fragments and they just kind of stay forever.
I think it's altered, though. I think, because you probably have a recollection of it. You've seen a photo of, like, this memory, and I think it kind of degrades or it gets twisted according to whatever feeling you've got for the photo. I don't know.
Yeah, I was trying to do it off of photo, not off of photo. So, like, I know specifically there's a photo that I've seen that made me remember. But the one I talked about, there's no photo of, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know. The mind's so weird. Like, sometimes things happen, I'm like, oh, I remember that happening. And then I'm like, oh, no, I don't think that was me. I think that was somebody else that happened to.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. Huh. That's a good idea, though. I would be interested to just... do a family series. Like, I don't know if you'd let your dad come over and talk to you.
Why not? It's just as interesting, honestly. And I don't know. Like, I have no idea how she met my dad. I have no idea how she met my stepdad. I have no idea what she did when she was little. You know, that kind of cool stuff I think would be good to know, and be kind of cool for, like, my kids to know eventually later on down the line. So
find out if you were an illegitimate child.
Yeah, the mailman and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I wonder how many... It would be interesting, like, if this was done a long time ago with me, and then how many memories are, like, actually, like, fake memories?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It can be.
Like, you know, you've been told, like, this has happened this one way this whole life. You're like, this is this way, and it's all, like... It's not real. It never happened that way. It's just you've made that happen in your brain.
You'd have no way of knowing, really.
Yeah.
Right, it's like, how many people, like, how many people, like, when it was, like, the anniversary of the Challenger was all, I remember being there, and Challenger, they wheeled the TV in there, and they showed us that. And I actually don't, like, in my head, I remember that happening, but I don't actually know if it legitimately happened.
Do you remember? We were in fourth grade when that happened.
I thought we went down to the sixth grade class to watch it.
Right. That's the thing, is I thought that too, but is this some sort of mass hypnosis?
Well,
that, like, we all remember it just a little bit, but then everyone says, like, hey, I remember that, and all of a sudden you go, that triggers you to have a memory that may or may not be exactly the right, but it molds in your brain to be that way?
Can you remember that teacher that year?
I think it was my teacher, Mrs. Miller, wasn't it?
Miller, yeah.
That's the teacher I had in sixth grade. Yeah. I don't know.
I had Miss Evenson, who I had as a kindergarten teacher, and then she was my fourth grade teacher.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
It's weird.
I had Miss Hammer for
I don't remember. Elementary. Well, I did too for elementary, and Mrs. Hammer. Everybody had Miss Hammer in Osseo.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows, right? Like, I think we went to, like, we drove down to Disney in Florida when I was, like, 9. If there were not pictures of that and people telling me I was there, I have absolutely no memory of that place. I don't remember going. I don't remember doing anything. Nothing.
Right. It was just funny because we went when I was 8 years old. We got my mom got me out of school so we could go down there for the whole time, like the week. And it was and things. I don't remember anything about Disney World. I just remember I got sunburned really bad, and like a kid slapped me on my back and I cried so hard because I just remember the pain.
Oh.
And that is 100% vivid. That is burned in my, like, essence, you know, forever. That pain.
Don't get sunburned.
But everything else, I can't remember anything else of, like, did I have fun, what rides I went on, any of that stuff. But that pain is there forever.
Yeah, it's weird what needs to happen for those neurons to connect and that memory to take hold. But it has to be, right. It's usually something dramatic like that. And I'm pretty sure we just found out why you don't like the heat, Dave, right there. You just...
and the thing is...
trauma.
Like I don't like it 'cause I'm like, oh man, I'm uncomfortable. But there could be, like that could have broken, like, you know, crossed something in there that says, like, you know what? Heat equals pain. Pain's terrible. Do not experience pain.
Yeah, you never know. Our bodies are weird. Our minds are fucking even weirder. So that could definitely be something like that going on.
Right.
That's cool. Mm. All right.
That's a good idea, though. I think you should do it. And I think your mom should definitely do it. And it should not be just one episode of it. I think it needs to be like 2 or 3.
We'll see. I mean, I figure in a 2-hour period, you can get through a lot of shit. Now, you're right. You can always find more stuff. I would have to come up with more probing questions that would, after that long. Because it's easy to have a conversation, but it's not easy to have a continuing conversation when you remember what you said and stuff like that.
Correct. I think the comfort level after a while dwindles. So
I see what you're saying. So it gets easier.
It gets easier.
I would agree with that.
So you're like doing this podcast. Yeah. That first 2 episodes, everybody's minding their P's and Q's. Like,
really?
Not sure what to say.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, we're so comfortable with it now.
Well, I know what you're saying. It's definitely going to be like that. But okay, so that brings my second question. Do you think it would be easier if I to just do it one-on-one, or to have like one of my sisters here to try to? I don't know. Sometimes people can assist with more probing questions, or do you think that'd be more confusing than anything to have more than one voice going on, more than 2 voices?
Well, I think if you got your sisters involved, then it really becomes kind of a family thing. And like you said, they can help with the probing questions, but there might be things that they remember that you don't remember, and you might get more out of it.
Yeah, or I don't know.
It might be more beneficial to do your first interview and then have them listen to it, come back and give you credit, or not critique it.
Feedback,
and then go through a second time and see if you can find some more stuff that's interesting.
Okay.
Because I think they would detract from the focus.
I can understand that. I honestly have no... I don't know what the right answer is here. I see it both ways. I see it easier to be just one-on-one kind of a thing, where it's more kind of just hanging around and having a conversation. And you might be intimidated if it's 2-on-1, or if you're just, you know... I don't know. But maybe... Well, I want to give it a try. We'll see what happens. Today is my mom's birthday. She should have came over today, but apparently she had to do that work thing, so, you know.
What?
I know, right?
Does she work 24 hours a day?
No, but then she wanted to, like, be off for her birthday and, like, go do things she likes and stuff. I know, right?
She's a mom. She's not supposed to do that. Like, you come over and take care of and hang out with your son.
Yeah, it would be easier if I could go over there, because logistically that would be easier for her, but... I just can't. I mean, it's hard to bring everything over there and have a quiet room and stuff.
Right.
All right, well, I'll let you know how that goes. I'm not sure if she'll even want anybody to hear it. Maybe it'll just be for me, kind of a thing.
What happens if you wear, like, like a fucking, like, you're mic'd up, like you're an undercover cop, trying to get some, like, the fucking lowdown?
Well, it's interesting. I've always wanted to do this with my grandmother as well, but she just lives in fucking nowhere land, like Florida or something, and nobody wants to go down there, so that's even harder to do.
Yeah, because that'd be interesting if there was, like, a, like, an event, a family event that happened, you know, that was, like, a defining family event, and then you're like, okay, you interview, like, a bunch of different people about this event to try and recreate the most accurate story, the version of about it.
That's a good idea.
Because everyone has their own point of view on it, and you would be able to try and, like, get the, like, well, this is the way this happened. You're like, okay, well, that's your point of view, which is the way it may have happened for you. But then, yeah, you create, like a super accurate version of the way it actually happened, like a fucking, like a history uncovered, you know, of this event that happened.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So, like, a big family reunion or something, or a big, like, grandparents' 40th reunion or something like that, where everybody was together. It has to be something that they obviously remember, too. Yeah, that's actually interesting. We also show the fallacies of memory and how everyone remembers a little bit different and stuff. Yeah. Cool. Thanks for your input. I'm not sure what will happen, but hopefully something good comes out of it. Yeah.
But as always, ideas. Ryan should be here to make sure ideas, like, go forward.
For me? I'm like, yeah, Ryan, get my mom over here and then do this shit.
Right. He should just be like a secretary for everyone.
Yeah, but Ryan doesn't have any time. You know, he's...
Yeah, but he has these cards that allows him to replay turns and extra stuff happen.
Well, and he's got an extra clock to help him.
That's right.
Manage his time better.
Yeah, it was weird. So I got him this little, like, wood clock thing, and it, like, projects the time through the thing. And then I engraved on there something like, I don't remember what it was. It said something like, time wasted, or time enjoyed wasted is not wasted time, or something to that effect.
Right, yep.
Because that's hit me before, where I'm playing a game and I'm like, this is not important. I shouldn't be playing this game. But I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm having fun. This is not wasted time if I'm enjoying myself. But anyways, the engraving was going to be like $60. I was like, the clock cost $20. It's $60 to engrave the fucking thing. So instead, we just kind of wrote on it in this, like, silver marker kind of stuff. Which felt cheap, but I was like, God damn, man, $60. I guess I could have learned woodworking and done that, but, you know.
I could have got the Dremel, been like, you'd be like, and then all of a sudden you spell a word wrong, you're like, fuck.
What's a Dremel? What's a Dremel?
A Dremel, basically, imagine it's, there's a motor that's, you know, fits, it's a little bit bigger than your hand, and then it goes down to a piece that rotates really fast. You can add, like, just like kind of like a drill bit for, like, engraving, you know, like a tiny drill bit that goes, and you can engrave and write letters. You can have a blade, like a little tiny blade that's like a, you know, 3/4 inch in diameter, so you can get into things and be like, yeah, and cut out things and stuff like that.
All right.
It's basically just like a really high speed, high RPM, high torque motor that you can attach various bits and or blades to do intricate, you know, fine detailed work.
Okay. All right. Hey, speaking of Star Wars, when do we get a teaser trailer for episode 8? Yeah, because when did we get the teaser trailer for Rogue One? Do you remember when that was last year?
I thought it was like May.
Was it that late? For some reason, I thought it was earlier.
Really?
I don't remember. I couldn't remember when between the movies they come out. Like, if it's actually super early or not that early. Not even a teaser. Yeah, whatever the teaser was, where it's very little footage, just the name and, like.
Or was it the Super Bowl?
That might be it.
Super Bowl is February, right? So that's pretty fucking
first
soon.
Weekend in February.
Yeah, that's like not even a month. That's like a little over a month away.
Because, I mean, all the principal shooting for episode 8 is done. They're in post-production right now.
It better be. Carrie Fisher's got...
Yeah, JJ
said they finished all of his jobs.
April 7th, 2016.
Do you think... I'm sorry, it was April you said?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Do we know what? Do we have any theories about what they're going to do with Leia's character? Do you think they'll go back to the CG thing, or do you think after this next show? Because 9, she's presumably going to be in, and I don't think they shot anything for that yet, right?
No.
So
I
mean, they'll probably have to rewrite. I mean, they're gonna. I don't think they'll do CG.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
I don't. It's tough.
Yeah.
Is what we're 3 years out from 9, right? It'd be 19 when that comes out, 2019.
God damn, that's a year away still, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a year away for the next one.
Yeah.
Do you think it matters to the box office that that's will be her like last movie at all, or do you think anybody who cares is going anyways?
Yeah, anyone who cares is going, but there might be some people that really liked her that might go. That might have been just on the borderline, but I don't know people who are on the borderline with Star Wars. That's one of those things.
Well, because Fast and the Furious, I think one of their biggest ones was the one just after Paul Walker died. So I'm wondering if you're right. This is kind of Star Wars is kind of transcends that shit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think you know, with Paul Walker's passing, it was pretty close to the movie was only like a few months out, wasn't it?
Right.
Yes.
And then they did a whole bunch of reshots with the brother to put in that final scene. So here we've got a full year before Episode 8 comes out. I'll be interested to see if they get her into like the Oscar memoriam or something like that, because they have a knack of leaving some people out who, you know, have just passed right before.
Oh yeah, but people get pretty upset there. Yeah,
I think they're gonna have her and then Debbie Reynolds be the last two.
Yeah, it could be.
And then do one of those things where they kind of intrinsically like wrap them up together.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like show them doing things, like show her as a, you know, Debbie Reynolds as a mom, showing with, you know, maybe they might have some behind the scenes footage of her when she was on set or something like that of an old movie.
Yeah, and be
like,
that would be cool. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but hey, we got 2 days left. Fucking, who knows? Michael J. Fox might kick it in the next 2 days or something, and they'll fucking destroy everything. And
true.
Did you, apparently?
Yeah, because.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, it was like, what was it? 20. It's like basically this is like for celebrity deaths, this is like the highest it's been in like, you know, 6 years.
Oh,
it's like there's been 112 like celebrities that have died this year. Like last year it was like 85, and it is just I feel myself getting old because these are all people that I remember from my childhood.
Yeah, I think that's what people have the biggest reaction to is I remember this person, I grew up with this person. Man, this sucks, kind of a thing. Yeah.
Right.
So apparently the last Fast and Furious movie made $1.5 billion worldwide.
Yeah, it's
Ooh, Jesus.
Before that it's gross, it was up to, it was only $800 million, but that last one, Jesus Christ, holy cow. And where is it overseas? It's making 5 times as much overseas as it is domestically. Is it China or where is it making all this fucking money? I'd love to know. I'd love to find out.
Japan.
Yeah, I guess, but Japan's not huge.
Because Japan's population is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's Jesus Christ. $1.5 billion. That's a lot of money for a movie about people who drive cars around.
Yeah.
Huh. And when's the next one come out? I don't think they're going to do as good as this one. I think this is going to be their top one, probably. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't see it jumping up so far. Summer.
Yeah,
is it a summer movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, they all kind of hover around. Well, no, it jumps up pretty quick. Okay, interesting. Cool. Adam, are you back?
Oh, holy shit! China, yeah, China. It's made $391 million, and followed closely behind with the United Kingdom with $57 million.
Oh,
it made
what?
China made Fast and the Furious 7 made $391 million in China.
Okay.
And the next highest one is United Kingdom.
So
with 57 and a half million.
Okay, so between those three, that's 800 million. Where's the other 700 million coming from? I guess smaller countries that you add up a lot of littles and it makes a lot.
Right, because I mean, yeah, it's like United Kingdom's 58, or you know, and then Mexico's 52, and Brazil's 47, huh? And Germany's 41.
I guess.
So, I mean,
you add them all up, and it starts to get up there. Okay, but it is China, which I guess is, I mean, it's about the same as us. I think it made 350 here, 390 in China. So those are the two big markets. So
all right. It made $0 in Azerbaijan.
What?
$0 in Cambodia. $0 in Georgia. Iraq. It made $0 in Ireland, which is weird.
Really?
You think the Irish people? Yeah. You think so? It made $7 million in Vietnam.
That just means that it wasn't released to those countries, like in the theaters. Otherwise, yeah, somebody in Ireland would have went and saw the movie. All right.
Yeah, that's
interesting. So, Adam, you weren't here last week.
Yes.
We played a little game. We started a little tradition called D&D Plotline Movies.
Uh-oh.
Would you like to,
that was funny.
Would you like to know how
Tiffany, Tiffany got the Jungle Book one. She got the Jumbo Book one, like, right away.
Oh, really?
She's like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, some of them are hard.
You should come on the game show.
I'll give you an example, Adam, and then you can... the one we used last time, okay?
Okay.
Are you pointing? Do you need something, or...?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So here's a test one I use. And basically what it is, it's that you take the movie of plots... And you turn them into, you put them into D&D like terminology, and you see if somebody can guess what movie it is. All right.
I hear you.
You want me to give you a test one so you can guess it?
Yeah.
All right. This is from last week. All right. Utilizing powerful time traveling spells, a warrior from a nearly extinct tribe must journey back to save the mother of a legendary general from a savage, nearly unstoppable foe. Does that ring any bells for a movie?
Savage unstoppable foe.
Yep. Utilizing powerful time traveling spells, a warrior from a nearly extinct tribe must journey back to save the mother of a legendary general from a savage, nearly unstoppable foe.
I got no clue.
Terminator.
Oh. That makes sense.
So, we did it last week. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. I think they all got, eventually, you all got them. And it was kind of cool.
Right.
I think everybody got, like, one, at least one by themselves, and some people guessed them about the same as well.
Right. Yeah.
So, I have a few more if you'd like to journey into my demented mind here again.
Weird thing is, it's not demented. It's just, it's like a fun game. I think it would be a fun party game, honestly. And the thing is, you could do it. You could do it like, you wouldn't even have to go like D&Dify. You could be like fantasy. You basically take a movie plot and make it a fantasy plot, and like, or you could make it like a sci-fi plot. You could send like, you could sell packs and be like, oh, this is a sci-fi version. You got sci-fi it up, or you could make it like a romance. You got to make the plot of this like thing into it like a crazy romance. It's like, this guy is totally in love with this girl, but he had to travel back in time to go make sure that she survived from and you could, it would be fun.
Yeah, you could. I don't know, we'll see. These ones are, I don't think these ones are as good. I'm not as proud of these ones, so we'll see what you guys can do with them. Yeah, all right. Ready to start?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
D&D movie, or plotline movies, take two. A young woman thrust into adventure must follow her path to a reclusive sorcerer who rules over gnomes to help find her way home.
Snow White.
Nope.
No, it's, Yellow Brick Road.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, good job, Wizard of Oz. Well done. Look at you guys with your awesomeness.
Snow White. Come on, that's dwarves.
Yes,
they're not new.
The hint, if you didn't get it, was along the way she meets three hesitant adventurers, partners each determined to secure a boon from the sorcerer and an evil wizard bent on revenge at the murder of her sister. Okay, let's do another one here. All right. An adventuring party sets out to a mysterious island to catch and enslave a behemoth. However, when the creature is set free in their kingdom, all hell breaks loose.
King Kong.
Yeah. See, these ones are not as good, I agree. Well, see, maybe this one. This one's a little bit more difficult, all right? At least I think it is. Maybe not. Maybe you guys will get it right away. A rogue takes on the guise of a bard, composing a new play in order to infiltrate a rival kingdom and rescue countrymen left behind enemy lines.
I want to say Saving Private Ryan, but that doesn't sound right. A bard. A rogue?
Takes on the guise of a bard, composing a new play in order to infiltrate a rival kingdom and rescue countrymen left behind enemy lines.
Oh, shit.
Sounds familiar.
What's that? Is it Argo?
Argo, fuck yourself! Yeah! Good job!
I'm just like, what the fuck is that movie called? I'm like, no, it's not The Town. That was a fucking Boston movie.
The Boston movie.
Boston.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad somebody got that, because I didn't have a hint for that one. I couldn't think of anything else. The plot's pretty simple to most of these movies, so...
Right.
Alright. I got two more. This one? I don't know, we'll see. Alright. Like I said, I'm not too proud of these ones. A woman finds herself psychically impregnated by a Batezu lord. The impending Cambion is protected by a host of servants surrounding the soon-to-be mother.
Aliens.
Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. Good job, yeah.
So, I mean, if the child was already born and it was protected, then it would be the one with Damien.
Yes. I didn't think we'd think of that one. What was the name of that movie? I don't remember that. Seventh? No, that's not it. Fuck. I can't remember that movie.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Whatever. We'll come back to it. All right, last one. There's another one, but this is probably the last one. This one's going to be... It might be a little difficult, all right? I'm going to put it out there on Front Street. Two rogues from vastly different paths must use their jousting skills to con knights out of enough gold for one to acquire a new plot of land and other to pay off deadly loan sharks.
First Knight.
What?
No. What's the one? Heath Ledger. That's First Knight.
I'll tell you, they're never going to be movies set in actual like medieval times or whatever. Right, they're always going to be something else. One more time. Hang on. One more time. So give other people in case Dave did get it. Two rogues from vastly different paths must use their jousting skills to con knights out of enough gold for one to acquire a new plot of land and the other to pay off a deadly loan shark.
I got nothing. Loan shark and plot of land.
Coming to my mind is Trading Places, but I don't know if that's right.
Well, close.
But Dan Aykroyd and Murphy.
Any guess before the hits?
Blues Brothers.
No.
No.
Is it plot of land yet? Is it Rounders?
No. That's a close one, though.
Fuck, I can't remember. I haven't watched that movie in so long. I was like, I can't remember what Matt Damon actually won.
I know, exactly. The hint, you guys will probably get it, so I'll give you a few more seconds to mull it over.
Two rogues.
Right.
Ugh. Good Will Hunting.
Alright, so here's the hint. Ready?
Yep.
Along the way, one of the rogues' women earns a great deal of gold by answering numerous Sphinx riddles, one involving a quince.
Hey, you want to know something, Adam?
What?
See, you'd rather look good and lose.
What is a quince?
What is a quince?
I haven't heard an answer yet.
Right. White man can't.
Yes, very good. Good job. Way to keep the game going.
Oh, rogues. I think that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're both con men.
Con artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just changed the sport because they didn't have basketball back then.
Right. Those are and jousting. It's a joust. I could totally see it.
Yeah. not one for one. They're not one to one parallels, obviously. So,
but,
cool. I'll add that to the list of stuff that's been done. that goes here. Apply. All right. Anything else going on tonight? What's this thing I see about Amazon?
Not a whole lot.
Adam, what is this thing?
Oh, that's me. Give me a second.
What?
We'll wait for you.
I got a child who is not feeling too well tonight, so he is throwing up a lot.
Oh, that's
and he's sitting in my lap currently. So, yeah. Okay, so Amazon looks like they're creating flying blimps, or they want to create flying blimps.
What the fuck?
As warehouses.
What?
I know. If you read this article. So there's, like, flying blimps that run around, like, wherever, from their stations, and then they're going to go from those blimps, they're calling them warehouses, flying warehouses. As soon as they get to their area, they'll release their drones, and the drones will make the deliveries from the flying warehouses.
Amazon wins patent for a flying warehouse that will deliver drones to deliver parcels in minutes. They just need a fucking helicarrier, basically. If they can just build a helicarrier, yep, they'll be fine.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, though.
Maybe Amazon is secretly being funded by Hydra.
Oh, God, it could be. What do we do? I love Amazon so much, and I'm supporting Hydra. I don't like that. So I'm guessing this is to make it easier for drones to go, because drones, you typically don't have long distances, so
correct,
you send them up with their shit,
right,
and then that's a docking station to come back and stuff. What the fuck? Amazon's what? Going crazy. It's going to be futuristic Amazon world where shit goes crazy.
Yeah, think about that. We'll be seeing, like, 15, like, Zeppelins hanging out, hovering over the skies.
Speaking of Zeppelins,
it'll be like...
So, Dave, did you watch the pilot then of Timeless or whatever?
Yep.
So that,
yep,
that was the one with the Hindenburg, right?
Hindenburg, yep.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's... Jeez. Sorry, there was something caught in my throat.
Like, are you still there?
See, that's where, like, that show, like, gets me, because it's shit that they don't even go into that makes me want to keep thinking about it, how they're like, if the Hindenburg went down, then it was... You know, prior to World War One, basically, then relationships, passengers between Germany and U.S. would have kept going back and forth. Relationships would have been pretty good. Maybe we never enter World War One. Maybe Germany doesn't lose World War One, and that completely changes World War Two and everything else that happens. And even Hitler probably wouldn't have came to power because Germany wouldn't have been defeated. And that's where I like to go with it. The show is just like a catalyst for me to be like, "Oh, let's think about more shit."
Yeah, that's super weird because we were doing inventory at work, so we basically shut down work and we just basically inventory everything all day long and stuff like that, make sure everything's like this, cause since we deal with such high dollar value items. And we were just talking about that too. It's all like, man, like the crazy amount of stuff that happened to like the guy who assassinated Archduke Ferdinand. He's like, okay, throw by, you know, the grenade thing out there. Oh, blew up the car behind him. Alright, that guy goes, and he's like, runs away. I'm gonna stop and get something to eat. Alright, cool, I go in here and get something to eat. Here comes the car with the Duke in there who wants to stop and get a cup of coffee. Hey, you're the guy I wanted to kill earlier. I should just go and shoot you now. Like, the amount of coincidence that after the failed attempt happened, like, if the guy would have been like, anything, was like, I'll have coffee when I get home, or, I'm not hungry right now. I'm gonna go to a million different restaurants in the city. Like, that would have, like, that, because that affected almost every single country in Europe.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and Austria-Hungary was one of the biggest powers in that era. The Habsburg dynasty not only ruled all of Austria and Hungary, which was huge at that time, they had shit in the Netherlands, they had shit in Spain, they had shit everywhere, so, yeah.
Right, definitely. And then we're just like, okay, all that happened, all right. World War One never happened, so the Germans never release Karl Marx back into Russia to bring the Bolshevik uprising, which got rid of the Tsars, which happened to all this stuff. Like it is seriously, like, this one incident affected, like, every single thing on the planet.
That's why history is awesome, because it's all so connected, and you can see shit.
But it's
speculate,
funny, like,
I should say.
Yes, yes. But that one gun, that one gunshot affected, that one bullet affected everything. It's like, just like the, like, that bullet that, like, John Wilkes Booth shot into Lincoln. People speculated if the doctor wouldn't have started jamming the thing in there into the, his head to dig the bullet out, Lincoln would have survived. Because it was a .22 caliber round, and it's, it, they're not known for doing a ton of damage, and they just happen to move a lot once they're inside the human body. Like, he might have survived. And it's like, okay, I'm going to end up, you know, finishing up my, you know, term and stuff like that. It's just that that one bullet changes absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And it would be interesting to not, to have, like, a whole series of, like, is there stuff like that, like, I mean, there's some books, but, like, college class is called speculative history.
It's called alternate history, and it's all fiction. But yes,
right. But yeah. I mean, but like, you know, have historical people saying like, here's what, like, with actual data, like, you know, like to say
this is what could happen.
This is what probably would have happened. You know, this we're not guaranteed because we can't, you know, can't jump through multiple dimensions to see what actually happened. But it would be interesting to you know, because that's why I think that that show, if anyone wants to watch it, like, Man in a High Tower on Amazon, getting taken over by the Nazis on the East Coast, and the Japanese on the West Coast during World War II.
Yeah, I've had really good history teachers that do that, where they're like, "Here's a pivotal moment. Here's what might have been ramifications," which is kind of fun. Man in the High Tower, the only problem with me watching that show is it seems so absurd. Like, the Nazis were not close to winning the war with America, I guess. If they got the nuke first and we had to surrender, that might be a way. But they might have even taken over England. They might have even taken, you know, they had France and everything else. But it's hard for me to see them invading the U.S. And the Japanese were definitely in no position to invade the West Coast. Now, that being said, I do realize it's an artwork of fiction, and I can still enjoy it, but it just puts me a little bit off, so that's why I haven't watched it yet. But people do say it gets good reviews, so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Brat Nazis up in Canada, they're pretty close.
You gotta watch out for them. They're the fucking deadliest ones right there. But yeah, not a lot of alternate history shit gets made or written. I mean, there's an entire genre about it, but it's actually one of the harder fields to write in if you're not a known author, so. Yeah,
but our what the big thing is, like, it's because there's a set, the assassin kills, like, FDR in 33, so it keeps us in the Depression. That is why, like, we were not like a force to be reckoned with, and never stopped the like, we never got all the scientists out of Germany and stuff like that to help us.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so it goes back further.
Yeah, it goes back, like, way further. That's why, because. And it's also a weird Philip K. Dick sci-fi book, so
Okay. There's
a guy there's a guy in the book writing a story about an alternate history, but the alternate history that he's writing is our actual history.
Oh, gotcha. So it's not that people, I guess it's easy to categorize it by saying it's an alternate history where they won the war, but it's actually an alternate history where we never even got to a point where we could win the war.
Yeah, because okay. We never got involved.
See, that makes more sense to me, actually. Maybe I'll go watch the first one and see what it's like.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like, I know, like, World War II is probably the thing I know most about. Like, I think most people, if they're going to know stuff about history, World War II seems to be the biggest thing, because you have the History Channel, which is constantly World War II history. You know, you have all this stuff. It's like, it's the one that most people know about.
Yeah, the other day, people always make fun of the History Channel being the Hitler Channel, but I was flipping through the channels, and it was just a show entitled Hitler, and after that was another show entitled Hitler, and another show entitled Hitler, and the channel was labeled HC, which I figured was the Hitler Channel, because I went through 8 hours, and it was all Hitler stuff or World War II stuff, and I was like, what the fuck channel is this? Is it the actual Hitler channel? They went and make a Hitler channel? HC means Hitler channel. But it was just an alternate history channel version where you couldn't see the actual name of it.
Right.
Which is kind of too bad that that's what we fixate on, because there's so much fun stuff in the history to go through. I just understand that World War II is the big one.
Easy.
Yeah.
It's big and it's easy because there's
because you have definite good guys, definite bad guys.
And we have a lot of primary sources. So, I mean, there's people still alive. Not many, but there's still a few people left alive.
Well, even at that, there was good recording devices to be able to
And you can also you can always go back and say, like, look how great America was at one point in time. And there's that nostalgic thing about it being able to look back.
Not anymore.
Greatest generation.
Right. It's like, that's the thing. Is like, you can always look back and say, like, look at how great America was. And it's like, yeah, people were still assholes back then. People were always assholes at one point in time.
Yeah, it just feels like there's more assholes in power now. Probably not, but it just feels that way.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
Speaking of, did you guys see that tweet? That was my favorite tweet. Trump said something stupid like about the UN, where he was like,
He
said something like, the UN is a great idea, but all it is for people to sit around and talk, or something like that. And then the UN responded with a tweet of 10 things they do. And it was fucking awesome. It's like, here's the shit we do, you mother bitch. But they didn't use the word mother bitch, what they should have.
Yeah.
I'll try to find it. Tweet UN. Tweet UN. It's got to come up right away, right? Trump tweets UN with... whatever. Fuck it. I'm not even going to look anymore. It was good. Because it was obvious that they did a lot of things like protecting people, saving people, trying to feed people, you know? And it's like...
Right.
They don't do anything.
It's like pretty soon it's going to be like, Doctors Without Borders is a terrible thing. It's great in concept. Yeah, except for doctors put their lives on the line to go into places where there's hostilities and try and help people.
Yeah, but think how easy it is to, like, you could very easily twist that into, they're not being regulated. They're just off on their own doing shit. Who knows what they're doing, instead of that they're fucking helping everybody. Oh, God, don't get me started.
Right. It's seriously like it's like the Superman argument, where it's all like, Superman's unregulated. He goes into other people's land and get without moral justification. It's like, no, he's doing good stuff, regardless of borders, because he doesn't give a shit about your fucking borders. Because he cares about the planet as a whole.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. We provide food assistance to some 80 million people in 80 countries. We supply vaccines for 40% of the world's children. Assist and protect 60 million people fleeing war, famine, and persecution. And the list goes on. It's like, see, you motherfucker, stop saying things. Just because you say it doesn't make it real. Which is kind of what we're fixated on as a society right now. Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird that saying things make it real.
You mean whoever says it the loudest is the funniest? I mean,
well, being funny is all about timing, and my timing is usually pretty good.
Timing and volume, so you can hear them. Otherwise, if you can't hear somebody, it's not funny.
Right, because...
Hey, but speaking of which, if any of us were stand-up comedians, who do you think would do best as a stand-up comedian? Between us five. So you gotta have timing. You gotta have the ability to write jokes. You gotta have the ability to give jokes, like perform jokes, and you gotta have the ability to be able to take like bomb, because you're gonna bomb like crazy when you're a comedian, no matter what.
Right.
I can do one out of those five things.
Is it bomb really well?
Yes.
I think the hardest thing would be performing.
Well, no, you can't write a joke.
It'd be hard to perform. I think, honestly.
Right.
I think you're right.
I think it would be hard to perform. I don't know. I don't have any fear of people or like being on stage. I don't think I have that. Like, it's weird. Like, I got that weird personality where it's like, sometimes I like to be alone and just be like, hey, just leave me alone. But also I have that thing where it's like, if I'm surrounded by more people, I kind of go like, haha, I'm feeling energized by all of you and I'm going to be foolish.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder if, like, do comedians, at what level do comedians get writers? Or, because early on, I assume you have to write your own shit. But when you get so big, people probably sit around and write for you, I'm guessing? But not everything, but probably, just some stuff, maybe?
Probably when you get your own show.
I guess that's about right. When you have a staff that you can hire.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. I've always thought that would be an interesting career, being a comedian, because it doesn't seem easy. It seems like you got to work a lot of time. Like it'd probably be fun because you're telling jokes with your friends, but you gotta fucking work nights and you know 12 shows a night sometimes, and you know that'd be weird.
Like the grind.
Yeah,
like
it'd be a grind. That's a good way of putting it. It'd be a definite grind.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. to bring it back to Rounders, man. Fucking grinding.
God damn it.
Just gotta keep grinding.
Now I'm gonna have to think of a Rounders one in the future. But it have to be like 3 weeks from now, so you forgot that we talked about Rounders.
All right. Well, because the thing is, it's like, it's two rogues again. You know, two childhood friends for rogues. And one is like kind of, you know, wants to be out of it. He's like, I'm going straight. I'm getting out of this rogue game.
Yeah. We've had, I gotta find like a barbarian. That'd be a good one. I haven't had used a barbarian yet. Or a cleric. I haven't used a cleric. Ooh, that'd be easy though. There's lots of priest movies.
A lot of priests, doctors.
That's
doctors
true.
Are kind of clerics.
The priests.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, doctors. I can see that. Cool.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, that's.
That's what?
That's. Yeah, I'm just thinking now, man. It's like this. There's a lot of interesting things we thought about today. Like, alternate. I'm going to be like making some alternate history. Like, what happens. Like, what would have happened, Adam, if the car would have broke down 100% on the way to Empire Strikes Back?
In the puddle?
No, on the way to Empire Strikes Back, and we got stuck, and we didn't get to see it.
Ooh. What would have happened? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, the whole history would have changed. I'm going to say, like, 97, all kinds of stuff would have happened. Adam would have been flying one of the planes into the World Trade Center.
Oh, Adam, why'd you do that?
I'm afraid of heights.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned this, because I was talking to Ryan a while back about this, who's not here to confirm, but you're skeptical, believe me, I'm not lying. Totally not lying. Is that there's moments, and I can ask you guys, I don't think I asked you guys, but can you think of a moment in your life that was like a big intersection, where things could have went left and things could have went right, and you chose to go one direction, not really thinking about it. But if you went right, now thinking back, your entire life would be completely different. Now, there's the big ones, right? Proposing to your wife is probably a pretty big one. Having kids is probably a pretty big one. I'm talking like maybe a little bit younger when you're deciding on things. And like one of mine was going into the military, well, obviously. I mean, if I didn't go to the Marines, what would I have done? Would I have went to college? Would I have just got a job? What would I have done? I have no fucking clue.
Huh. Yeah,
That's hard to say.
Really?
Is it one would have been working at McDonald's.
Maybe I've thought about it more, but I have like three or four.
If you went to Hamburger University.
I don't know.
You would have went to Hamburger University.
If I would have stayed there instead of moving on with my life and getting out of there, I don't know.
Well, not that Dave can relate to this, but the rest of us can. What about that moment that your parents divorced or something like that? Like, would you have taken a turn?
Oh, that's interesting.
In a different direction.
I actually don't even remember it. I was so young. But that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's a really good one, honestly.
Because I was 10 years old.
I was like 4 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then would we all be more open and in touch with our feelings rather than repress pieces of shit?
Pieces of shit. That's right.
Yeah. Super repressed. It's like I don't know. I think we've gotten better.
Oh, of course.
Like, at least I hope we've gotten.
Of course, Dave. Don't get me started. You've made strides that normal men cannot comprehend.
That is true.
Yeah, like seriously, like. I was the complete opposite of Ryan. I was like, I was on like fleshy outer side with a robot heart that felt nothing.
No, he's got a robot outside and a fleshy heart inside.
No, I'm fleshy all the way through. It's kind of gross sometimes.
Yeah.
No, I meant Ryan.
another one of my big ones was when I came back here from the military. I had a job lined up in California to go back and work in the same base and do the same job just as a civilian. I was supposed to go back, and like 2 days before I was supposed to go back and start my job, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Okay. All my family's here. Most of my friends are here. I'll just stay here. That's a complete different life. You live in California compared to you live in Minnesota. You meet different people.
Yeah.
I definitely probably don't meet Amy. I meet somebody else. Oh, and, you know.
You would have been getting it on with the Hollywood, like hot Hollywood chick.
Probably would have been Asian. There's a lot of Asian women out there, and I got some red fever in me, so, you know, that definitely probably would have happened.
You'd have been like super douchey.
Maybe. Like, hey, bro, what's happening, man? You guys want to go surfing?
Right, you're gonna be like about? All down at like the beach, like working out on the beach, like
muscle beach and stuff.
Not not eating sugar, drinking like
either that or Chris could have got super fat In-N-Out Burger like three times.
Dude, that'd have been awesome. Yeah, because my dream was to move back there and get that job for like 4 years or so, and then move up to get a small little like hut on Venice Beach where you could just walk outside and the beach is there. Because that's my dream life right there. You just walk out there, you can go for a run on the beach, you can go work out and shit, and then the beach is there. And it's awesome. You can play basketball. That's where we should all live, honestly.
See, that's Dave. Weird. Like that, because my dream is the cul-de-sac, with everyone has their own houses, but everyone has tunnels that lead underground to one super base
sure.
that everyone gets to go hang
that
out.
That is at. Also good.
No wives can come in there unless they know the access code. But it's a five, you know, part access code. So they all have to somehow work together in order to crack the code.
My neighborhood's going to be changing over soon. We already heard signs of people putting up their houses.
There you go.
They're all old. They're all moving out. We could do
yeah,
it.
But I don't want it to be in Minnesota. I'm sorry. It fucking blows here.
But you don't understand. An underground base.
We have to find, though, like the perfect alignment of weather and temperature and housing prices and go there. And that's the place it needs to set up at.
All right. That's it. I wonder if we're like... If Ryan was here, we could start doing that. It's like, okay, what's the weather that makes you comfortable? You'd be like, okay, you get a 10-degree range. We all get a 10-degree range, so we're like, okay, now we have this. Now we get that mean there. So we want the mean temperature to be here. And like, what can people afford, okay? Here's all this. What do people like to do for a living? You know, this, so we could try and find jobs and be like, okay, triangulate everywhere, and it would be somewhere sucky.
It'd be like Missouri, the middle of Missouri.
It'd be like... I would put in for Santa Fe, New Mexico, or somewhere like that.
New Mexico, isn't it too hot
but
there?
But the thing is, it wouldn't be
no,
your point.
No,
that would be your, that would be your point, and then we'd have to find the midpoint, because I'd be like, whoa, that's too hot. My midpoint would be higher up, so now it all of a sudden is in Suckyville.
It doesn't get as hot as you think.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but...
And it gets super cold there, too.
Yep, which
all
would
I
suck.
Know is New Mexico... I thought I could eat like hot food, and I cried and had boogers all over my face because I ate some spicy food.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was sweet.
They have green chili on everything out there.
Oh yeah, it's red or green, good. Adam. And you don't understand. Like we can eat hot. We're pretty good at eating hot food, but their hot food is like way hotter, and it makes you. It makes you so you get hiccups, and everything is you're like, ugh, and your body's evacuating everything out of your face.
That's another one. We'd have to factor in food, local food, and cuisine, and we have to open up just the entire world, not just the U.S. Maybe there's a place in fucking Belize that's amazing, where all the money we make is multiplied by like 18,000 times because they're a poor country and we're super rich because we're Americans and we have a normal income for America.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we should do. Get on that, Ryan.
Right.
He's not even here, but we should get on it.
Adam, you just 3D print stuff.
Oh, that'd be sweet. He's got his 3D printing lounge where he just, what do we need? I don't know. And he starts 3D printing it like a fucking replicator.
I want a 3D printer and a table CNC so I can do both additive and subtractive. It'd be awesome.
Whatever works for you. And you can always work remotely because you can send your shit in. So there you go.
That's true.
You're going to spend all this time building these things, and you're going to be like, check this awesome thing out. And then Chris is going to go like, Jah! And chop it in half with this
hammer.
Like, I built this sword.
Check out my sword I made. It's got jagged edges and not straight at all. It was my first sword. Fuck you.
Best sword ever. I call it first sword.
Right. You have to name it, though. Whatever you build first, you have to
well,
name
yeah.
it. It is basically... It is a named weapon, and then like it can gain power over time because it built a mythology of things that it has done.
And I'm just saying, I might one night, when I perfect this craft or get really good at it, I might invite one of you guys over, all of you guys over one night, and be like, just cut your fucking hand and bleed into the blood, into the metal, so the blood becomes part of the weapon.
And then it like tempers terribly, and you hit it on something, and just
it's just a little bit of blood. Come on,
that would make us all married.
Whatever. Adam's like, I'm gonna give you some other substance from mine into your sword. I'm like, ah, oh, you've ruined it.
That's what Ryan's DNA thing is. I'm like, ah. Do you have to have a saliva sample, or is Steven okay?
Like, I think if you sent, like, a semen sample into the DNA thing, as soon as they grabbed it and they, like, dipped it in, they're like, oh!
That's not saliva.
We're gonna throw this out. We're throwing this one out. We are returning. Adam White, we are sorry. We found no ancestors.
You're not actually alive, sorry.
And that is the grossest thing we've ever had shipped to us.
Okay, well, we'll get on that. Ryan will hopefully get on that, and we'll come up with a place. Each of us should send in, like, our requirements. We'll send something out as far as what we require for temperature and stuff like that, and food and all that stuff, and we'll put it into a giant calculator machine. We'll see what it comes up with. So, that work?
Right.
Works for
that
me.
That calculator is right.
I don't know about that. Maybe he'll make a program that does it, so...
He's not very good at directions. You got to remember that. So
that's true.
Maps, I think, and he still knows north and south.
He doesn't know his way to Chicago from here.
You follow a road and you hope that you make it. That's Ryan's thought. Yeah. Okay. Anything else, or can we cut it off here?
I think we're good.
All right.
Cut it out.
Sounds good. Thanks everybody for listening. We are at geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com, or the Facebook page of the same name. And hopefully next week we'll have some awesome place that we're all going to live, and we're going to raise our children in a huge commune and share wives. Wait, I went too far. So sad. All right. See you, everybody. Bye.
See you next year.
Bye. Oh, next year.
Later.
Good.
Oh, damn.
Next year.